Hello everyone, and welcome to another recap race analysis of the Giro d'Italia 2024. Today was the Prato di Tivo stage, another mountain stage, and of course, as always, the man who's going to help me dissect the stage today is Patrick Blake of Audi Cycling and one third of the Echelon Cycling Podcast. And I mean, Patrick, what happened on stage 8?
It looked like it should have been a breakaway day, and everybody seemed to think that as well. We had a lot of early moves, and eventually a breakaway did go on the Forza Capistrello, which included guys who were trying to jump up in GC, like Michael Storer, Roman Bardet, for example. But there was also some stage hunters in there, like Valentin Panepenzler, for example. He will come into play a little bit later on. And Julian Alaphilippe was in there as well. I think that really highlighted that everybody thought it was going to be a breakaway day, but they were only really given like 2.5 minutes, something like that, maximum. So when you look back at the peloton, you think, well, who's pacing for all this? You think it might be Bora, Decathlon, AG2R? No, it's UAE, because it looks like all that's worth, that they wanted another stage win, and it's like they're going to Prato di Tivo, they're going to, you know, get Pogacar another stage win and stuff like that. And, you know, not much to happen in the breakaway. I mean, Steinhaus looked pretty good. He was trying to get up in the intermediate sprints, and everyone was trying to play a little bit of cat and mouse, trying to get people to work a little bit more. We came into the base of Prato di Tivo. There were still about 15 people in the breakaway at this point. Eventually, people started dropping off one by one, like Nairo and Nevada's. Magnus Sheffield was setting a pace at the start of it. And the gap to the peloton was just coming down and down, 40 seconds, 30, 20 seconds. And then at that point, Valentin Panepenzler launches it off of the front. He was the strongest from the breakaway today, based upon that fact that he survived the longest. He managed to make it through the intermediate kind of bonification sprint at Pietra Camella. So he took 3 bonus seconds for what that's worth for his GC, I guess. Groschartner and Micro took me or two. I'm kind of surprised maybe somebody else didn't try and get something, but everybody seemed a little bit kind of cagey about launching a bit too early and wasting their bullets, because they were still going really fast uphill, like 20 miles an hour, 30 k's an hour or something. They're going uphill. You saw Tiberi launching an attack, because he was obviously, you know, didn't do that great on Oropa because he had a mechanical, so he was seeing an opportunity to really move up GC. So he attacks, he's marked by Dani Martinez. Then you see Arensman coming back, and he's pacing for G, but then again, Tiberi attacks off the back of that. You see Micah then coming back as well and pacing for Pogacar, and we're inside like the final kilometer here, and the group is still like 10 people. So it's really just going to be a sprinter monster GC contenders. Micah comes to the front. He is breathing in air like a basking shark, just like his mouth is just agape. And then you see, I think it was Pogacar who launched it first. He launched with about 300 meters to go. Dani Martinez tries to follow. Then you see Ben O'Connor behind him, you see G, you see Rubio, Uitbrooks, Arensman's dropped to this point, and everyone's just trying to really hold on to the wheel of Tadej Pogacar, but nobody could really do it. Tadej was just too strong today. He was marking all of the moves just easily, just in the saddle, seemingly just breathing through his nose. So the top 10 of today's stage is that Tadej Pogacar wins ahead of Dani Martinez and Ben O'Connor in third. Then there's a 2-second gap to Antonio Tiberi, Geraint Thomas, Aya Rubio, and Kjaan Uitbrooks. Then you got 11 seconds to Arensman in 8, 13 seconds to Storer in 9th, who, you know, did incredibly well today considering that he was in the breakaway. And Alex Baudin of Decathlon AG2R finished in 10th place today, 21 seconds down. In terms of GC, I don't think it really does too much, only just a few seconds here and there. Scott, what did you make of the stage? I mean, I think maybe we were all expecting a little bit more, possibly a little bit more fireworks.
Yeah, I thought that Pogacar would be attacking from about 5 kilometers to go, but wasn't that being turned into a sprint stage on the top of the mountain?
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened, isn't it? And I think, I mean, we were talking about this before recording, that you said, like, is it that everybody else is just kind of like scared in a way? The only person who put in any attacks was Tiberi, and that's because he's a bit further down on GC, so maybe he thought he'd have a little bit more leeway. You know, hats off to him for giving it a go and launching attacks. Everybody else was just like not wanting to attack and then blow up. I mean, we saw what happened with O'Connor on Oropa when he ended up losing more time, and I think that just led to a rather cagey GC fight. But in terms of UAE Team Emirates, if their goal is to get the stage win today, they did it in the most kind of efficient way with Pogacar, which is that they just whittled the group down slowly. And then he just won from a sprint. Like, his main effort was, like, what, 20 seconds or something sprinting at the end? So in terms of efficiency, it's really good. But I guess in terms of the spectacle of the sport, maybe people didn't find it overly exciting.
Yeah, I think you're right. They couldn't have done it much better. What is it Roglic says? No risk, no glory. There was absolutely no risk there, and he got the glory. He has the best kick out of all of them. And yeah, it was just a bit of a shame. Tiberi, obviously, like you said, he at least tried. Obviously, he has other aspirations as well, because the white jersey, which I think is becoming the de facto most interesting competition of this year's Giro d'Italia, Luke Plapp, who was wearing that at the start of the day, had dropped out of top 10 and lost the jersey. And I think Jan Alaphilippe is now wearing that jersey again after losing it yesterday. So I think it's a very close competition. We were talking about yesterday in the recap that you said it's good to see that it's not just one rider like Tadej Pogacar has been doing at the Tour de France, just disappearing away with this competition, but there's actually some intrigue.
Yeah, there is some intrigue, and it looks like it's going to be Tiberi versus Uiterbrooks as the main kind of battle. Although Alex Bogarde actually did incredibly well today, only losing, well, he lost 21 seconds, but he is silently being one of the most impressive riders of this race, in my opinion. I'm just trying to look at the top 10 and thinking of someone like, who were the kind of winners and losers today? You could say that, you know, Martinez gets 6 bonus seconds, which puts him a little bit further ahead of G, plus the 2 seconds on, like, actual good distance on the road. So that's 8 seconds. Ben O'Connor then gains 6 seconds on G. So I guess those two might be a little bit happier because they're kind of gaining on their rival. But I think at the end of the day, it was all just, I don't know, I think everybody will just be happy to have not lost too much time today. Like, no big GC contender other than, like, Lutsenko, I'd say, and Juanpe, because Juanpe was dropped quite early on. Lutsenko, I think, was gapped by at least 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. So those guys are really seemingly out of the GC fight, unless to get into the break, which would be a far more entertaining way for those riders to race this. But I don't know, what else can we take from this?
Yeah, GC Lutsenko, that was painful to watch. The Echelon Cycling Podcast favorite, and obviously he won up the Puerto de Tibio only a few weeks ago, but this time it didn't quite go his way. Yeah, I mean, the top 10, Michael Storer hanging on for 9th place after he was in the breakaway, that was quite a good result from him.
Yeah, it really was. I thought, especially when you consider that other people in the break, like Bardet and Geschke and stuff, even though Geschke's not really like a GC rider, but yeah, but Vivera Storer was in the break and rolling turns there, not just sitting in the wheels like he could have done in the peloton, and still finishing 9th, just shows that he is in such impressive form. Although I did find it a bit odd that he hung on for 9th. Do you think he could have won the stage? Like, if the breakaway got more time, do you think the Storer would have won, or do you think that Valentin Paulipentel was going to win? Because he dropped, you know, Storer pretty fair and square.
To be honest, I never thought Valentin Paulipentel was going to win. Sorry.
But if the breakaway had, like, another 3 minutes, hypothetically.
Yeah, maybe Storer was the strongest after all. Yeah, actually, I agree with that. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
What could have been?
I think part of me hoped it was going to be a breakaway day today. just a part of me, but when I saw the small tether they were given by the peloton, it was a little bit like, oh, it's just going to be UAE getting another win today. I mean, as the kilometers went by, it was sort of just like more inevitable. I was there thinking, like, he hasn't attacked yet. And I'm looking like, is Micah winding it up? But it was just all like a stalemate, and they got the win, but it was just, yeah, it wasn't through some massive attack, and that means that the gap just won, what is that, 3 stages now of the Giro? And it goes to show that, yeah, I don't know whether Pogacar with some of these other mountain stages, whether he will just get UAE to work on the front to get more stages, or, and this is how the mountain stages are going to go now amongst the GC fight, it's all going to be really cagey and really close, and the differences are going to be made largely in that other TT.
Who did you think had the strongest team today? We saw Maximilian Trakman powering at the front. Obviously, they have a very weak team, Bora Hansgrohe, in terms of the mountains, because they have set the team up like that. The dual focus between Dani Martinez and a more of a sprint setup, but Schachman doing a good effort. Ineos Grenadiers looked fairly good. Arendsman was up there towards the front doing a lot of turns, as you said. And Geraint Thomas was fine. But UAE, we've been, well, not slating them. What we've been saying is we just wanted Brendan McNulty in the team. And I think if Brendan McNulty was in this team, it would just be a 1-2-3 UAE at every single mountain stage almost. Him, Rafa Majka and Pogacar.
Yeah, I still stand by that point that we've made. Unless Milano gets a sprint victory out of this, it's just going to be pretty futile to have brought him when you could have loaded up a little bit more with a couple of more mountain domestiques. I mean, it was fine today because outside of that first category two, I think it was, where the break was formed, it was relatively rolling, like not too difficult. So for guys like Stakkerberger Lagen and Bjerg and stuff can still hang in there to do their job. But when it gets to more serious Alpine stuff, you're going to probably see UAE likely give the break the victory because they're just not going to be able to have those rulers there. And I do think that, yeah, like why would you not have brought a McNulty or whoever else or a Sivakov or whoever? Because McNulty's not even doing the tour. Like I just don't get it. Why he is clearly obviously in good form because he won that stage in Romandy for TT. So. Yeah, I don't know. I think UAE were fine of it today because it wasn't like the most taxing day in that middle part. But I think when you get to the more alpine stages, maybe you'll see them give the breakaway a bit more leash.
I mean, a number of riders have been trying to rescue the GC, obviously having bad days here and there. Normal in a 3-week run tour. What did you make of Romain Bardet? He was certainly someone who put all his cards on this being, or banking on this being, a breakaway.
It's a bit like, I don't do this, kids. It's a bit like gambling. You've kind of lost and you have to risk in order to gain the time back. And it was either he was going to play it safe and just stay in the GC group and he was going to chip away at it, like slowly but surely, or he was going to have to get him a break and try and gain like minutes at a time. And I think it was the smart move to get him a break to try and gain him those minutes back, because it looked like with UAE so comfortable in the lead after yesterday's TT that the break should have made it today. So I think it was the wise move for Bardet to go into the break to try and gain those minutes back on GC, but he'll probably be quite between the going for GC mindset and the going for stages mindset now, because he probably lost quite a bit of time today. I don't know which way he'd go. I'd say that he'd have a good chance of winning some stages, but part of me thinks that also he'll want to try and fight for GC, and I think that'll just come through launching some more Hail Marys in the breakaway and hoping that they stay away. I think he just got unlucky today with UAE's plan of getting the stage win.
Well, like you said before, this is Pogačar's third victory in his first week of the Giro. There's two more weeks to go after this, well, after stage nine. And are we looking at 7-8 stage wins here from Tadej Pogačar, potentially? Or are you hoping that we are going to get some breakaway action at some point?
I think we will get... We must. We just have to. That's just the way it works. I'm just looking at the stages to come. Like maybe stage 10, just because it's a shallower gradient to the finish, you might see the break go there. The break will definitely go on some stages, like stage 12. Some of them are just going to be sprints. I expect up to like Livigno, even if it's not UAE pacing, I expect some other team to take control there. The Stelvio stage, even though the Stelvio is rumoured to not be in there, the break could win. So I do think that the breakaway will make it, but yeah, I don't know. It depends just how keen Pogačar is to get so many stage wins. I still think with the tour in the back of their mind that he must, like he surely he can't just like keep going all the time, right? I don't know. I would think that towards the end of the race he'd be less active, because you got to think about the tour that's coming up, right? And if you've already got like 5 minutes of advantage, then why keep like hammering it? I don't know. That's just my thinking on it. But then again, Pogačar could just go and, yeah, you are right. He could get another 3 or 4 stage wins realistically if UAE pace mountain stages like they did today.
Yeah, certainly. I think he showed that today, that he is the quickest rider and on even a mountain, and he can hold anyone's pace. I think the only thing that's going to get stop Tadej Pogačar is him maybe getting disqualified for having the wrong jersey on the wrong shirt. Yeah. or shorts was it, I think. But anyways, that's basically it for our recap race analysis here of stage 8. And make sure to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, get involved in the chat below as well. Of course, we are available on Spotify as well. And check out Patrick's own channel, Adri Cycling. He's got his rest day progress of the Velo Games coming up as well. And the Echelon Cycling Podcast, of course, episode 68 coming on Monday. But with that, thank you very much for watching, and we will see you tomorrow.